Brother Dwayne asks, we read from Psalm 119, verses 1 through 11. And just to echo what Marvin said, Marvin, you sort of copied my thoughts. But when I think of that home above, and I think sometimes we're spoiled here, we know that. And I don't tend to think of it. And maybe if I was in the Ukraine or if I was in Venezuela right now or someplace like that, I'd think about it a little bit more. That there is a better place. I'm guilty of it. Get up in the morning and I think I know what I'm going to do today. And I told the guys in the shop the other day, I said, you know, everything that we thought was important today, if we were living in Venezuela, you know, everything that we thought was important today wouldn't be important right now. So what's important to us? Psalms 119, 1 through 11. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, that when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed there according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from my commandments. Thy word I have hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. For all those who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
I want to thank Brother Clay for his prayer, and you as well for praying for me. Appreciate that, especially. We need it. The title of the message this evening is God's Word According to Psalm 119. Now, if you're getting excited and thinking, wow, this could be a long sermon, don't, because we're not going to cover 176 verses. But there's some thoughts we want to look at tonight, and Lord willing, continue in the next my next message. But so the title is, that would be the title for this evening, God's Word According to Psalm 119. Dennis Prager was debating the Oxford philosopher Jonathan Glover, who's an atheist. And Prager asked this question. He said, if you, Professor Glover, were stranded at the midnight hour in a desolate Los Angeles street, and if, as you stepped out of your car with fear and trembling, you were suddenly to hear the weight of pounding footsteps behind you, and you saw 10 burly young men who had just stepped out of a dwelling coming towards you, would it or would it not make a difference to you to know they were coming from a Bible study? And the obvious answer to that question is a resounding yes. What is it about a Bible study that would make a difference in our view of 10 burly young men coming towards us? Well, if these men were studying the Bible, we assume that there's a difference in the way that these men live their lives. We assume the scriptures have made a difference in their lives. You know, there are specific things that have and do make a difference in your life and in my life today. Certainly relationships would be probably at the top of the list. People make a difference. So many of them are parents, siblings, and if you're married, your spouse and family, friends, you know, other believers. You have made a difference in my life, and teachers and preachers and Sunday school teachers. Anyone who has shown me kindness or love or with you has made a difference in our lives. In the medical field, a lot of people have made a difference in my life. Having purpose in life makes a difference. Physical and mental health make a difference. Communication makes a difference. The ability to be able to communicate, talk to people. Having a heart of gratitude will make a difference in our lives. A sense of belonging. You know, I belong to this, or I belong to this group, or I have a purpose. You know, all of these make a will and make a difference in our lives, and there would be a lot more that you could name. But none of these are equal to the difference that the Scripture or God's Word can make in our lives. And in fact, God gave us the Scripture for the distinct purpose of making a difference in your life and in mine. John 20, verse 30 to 31 verses says this, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." God gave us his word specifically to reveal himself and his Son, Jesus Christ, so we could believe in Jesus and have life. Romans 10, 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." God gave us his word, the Scriptures, to build up our faith, to strengthen our faith, to grow it. 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." God gave us his word to teach us, to instruct us, to correct us, to help us and equip us, all again to make a difference in our lives, a good difference. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God gave us his word to discern the truth and our motives. Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God gave us his word to help us find the right way, to guide us in life. I believe Brother Marvin mentioned about that this morning. The Bible makes a difference because God wrote it, and God the Son, Jesus, embodies it. So it makes a difference. God gave us his word. He gave us the Scripture, not just to be placed on a table or on a shelf or to look good somewhere sitting. God gave us his word not so we would just habitually read it, not so we would just dutifully read it each day and then check that box off. Okay, I read it today, so I'm good. And then feel good about it. But God gave us his word so that it really will make a difference in our lives, a life-giving difference and a life-changing difference. Well, Psalm 119 is saturated with this overarching thought that the Scripture can and does and will make a good difference in our lives. And I say good because there are bad differences. Well, Psalm 119, as I've already mentioned, well, I mentioned about the 176 verses. Obviously, it's the longest chapter of the Bible. And the unique thing about it is that nearly every one of those verses speak of God's word. I believe it's the exception of like five of the verses that don't. And there are various words used to refer or to mean God's word, the Scriptures, words such as law, testimonies, way or ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, the word itself, and ordinances. All are words that refer to God's word in Psalm 119. And we want to focus on that chapter, a chapter full of thoughts concerning how God's word can make a difference in our lives. You may want to stay open to that. I don't know if you will keep up and be able to turn to all of them or not, but we'll be referencing quite a few from Psalm 119. Well, first of all, for God's word to make a difference in my life and in your life, it depends solely on how we approach it. And we want to look, I believe, seven ways that we need to be approaching God's word. How we approach it according to Psalm 119. Number one, we need to approach the Scripture believing it is true. Now, I guess that's pretty basic, but that's pretty important. Believe that it is true. Psalm 119, 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Psalm 119, 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Psalm 119, 86. All thy commandments are faithful. That means they'll happen. They're true. They persecute me wrongfully. In our approach to the scriptures, we must first choose to believe or know that they are the truth. This is the truth. In a day and age where anything seems to go and truth is relevant to what I think or you think or someone else thinks, this is the truth. The source that we know we can base our lives on, that we can go to and know that it hasn't changed. It will not change. And even though there is proof that the Bible is true, proof is not really necessary for us to believe. Now follow me with this. Because we choose to believe it's true. Stuart Chase, he wrote this, and I want you to think this through. He said, for those who believe, no proof is necessary. For those who don't believe, no proof is possible. Think about that. I think I agree with that because on this basis that if we choose not to believe something, guess what? There is no proof that will convince us to believe it. If we choose not to believe, because it's a choice. Because we see that all around us. We see people that see proof that the scripture would be true. There has to be a God. But they choose not to believe. If we doubt the truthfulness, and I understand the scripture where Thomas said, show me and I'll believe, and Christ showed him and he believed, I understand that. But Thomas still had to make that choice to believe. Had he not chosen, that proof wouldn't have mattered. That's what I'm getting at. So maybe you don't agree with that, but it's just a thought. Anyway, if we doubt the truthfulness of God's word, at the very best, it will limit the effect that scripture has in our lives. James 1, 6 and 7, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he or anyone that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If we don't believe it's true, how's it going to have an effect on our life? We need to approach God's word believing that it's true. Well, secondly, we need to approach God's word trusting God to back it up. Trusting God to back it up or to keep it. Psalm 119, 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding. How? According to thy word. In other words, on the basis of your word, back it up. Psalm 119, 170, let my supplication or my pleas come before thee, deliver me according to thy word. Again, back it up, Lord. I believe it's true. I believe you'll back it up. Psalm 119, 173, let thine hand help me, praying again to the Lord, for I have chosen thy precepts. Believing he'll back it up. When we first believe that the Bible is true, it then puts us in a position to trust that God will not contradict it and that he will fulfill it. He will do what it says. So if I first believe it's true, I am then in a position to trust God that he will carry it out. He will fulfill it and do it. We see that's what was true in Abraham's life. When God promised Abraham a son by way of Sarah, who was past childbearing age. Romans 4:19 to 21 says it the way it was. It says this, refers to Abraham when saying, and being not weak in faith. In other words, he believed. He chose to believe. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, rather yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. He believed it, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised his word, he was able to perform it, or he would back it up. Abraham didn't just believe God's word. He knew God would back it and fulfill it. We have chosen to believe. If I went around the room here, I think everybody would say, yes, I believe this is true. We've chosen to believe the Bible is true, and that's good. Are we also choosing to trust God to keep every word? And somehow, I can only speak for me, I have a tendency to digress right there for sometimes. Psalm 119, 41 and 42, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. To trust in God's word also has the meaning of having confidence in it. Because the Bible is truth. And God backs it up, then we can approach it with having confidence. If I believe it's true, and I believe God's going to back it up, then I can approach his word, and what I'm reading and I'm taking in, I can take it with confidence that he's going to do it. These aren't just words stating someone's opinion. This isn't just a book that somebody else wrote, a human. They are given to us by God. They are his words, and they merit, they are worthy of our confidence. And we need to approach God's word having trust in it. And I'm talking to me as much as anyone here. Our approach, or in our approach to the Bible, Psalm 119, the great chapter of the scriptures that focuses on God's word, tells us to believe it's true and to trust in it and that God will keep it. Thirdly, Psalm 119, speaking of our approach to Scripture, refers to the word hope, or hoping in God's word. And this is closely connected to trusting in God's word. Again, I reference Psalm 119, 41 and 42. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Now, 42, that's not what I want. I want 42. Yes. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in his word. And then 43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Again, in thy word. And hope there has the idea of trusting and waiting patiently for God to do what his word says. And maybe that's where we have a lot of trouble. I know your word says it, God, but I want it right now. Why aren't you doing something right now? Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Many times, probably, he doesn't. It's not that he's not working, it's just we don't see the results. Verse 49 of Psalm 119, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Verse 74, 119, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Verse 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. 116, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. And there the word hope means expectation. Expectation, having an expectation. So we need to approach God's word, believing it's true, trusting God to back it up, hoping in it, waiting patiently for God to fulfill it with the expectation that he will. He's going to. We come to God's word trusting it, expecting it to be a reality or to become a reality in our lives. Fourthly, we need to approach God's word with humility. You know, it seems to me you can put humility in every sermon you preach because it's so important, and somehow I lack it so much, and I think we all deal with it, but I can only speak for myself. But verse 21 of Psalm 119, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. The proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. And I take that to mean when we approach God's word with pride, we will hinder the effect that the scripture will have on our lives or in our lives. Pride turns us away from God's truth. It causes us to err. It keeps God's word from drawing us to him. It will keep us from wanting to obey. It will hinder our confidence in it, our trust, our having the right response. You know, pride needs to be checked at the door when you and I approach God's word. Well, fifthly, we need to approach God's word with prayer. Psalm 119:18, psalmist says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, or again, thy word. We need to ask God to help us see what he wants us to see. Me specifically from his word. Open my spiritual eyes. When we do this, we are asking God to speak directly to ourselves from his word. You know, I understand the general things, I see the general principles and things and the commandment. Well, what do you want me to see as I read this? It's asking God to show us more than the general truths, but also asking our Heavenly Father to show us something through his word that applies to my situation right now, this day. And it may be very specific to that day's events. That's exciting because he answers that and he will reveal things. When we were preparing to go to Mayo Clinic for the very first time, I guess it was 2017, and the cancer question was up in the air. They didn't really know the extent of my issues all and how serious it was and what all was going on. And it was a day or two before we were ready to leave, I guess. And I was reading scripture for my devotions, and the message that came through directly to me was very clear that God had. And he was sharing it to me. And I'm sure you've been in those cases when that's happened. And it dealt with my current circumstances. We need to approach God's word with prayer for our Heavenly Father to speak through his word directly to me, to you. So we need to approach God's word, believing it's true, trusting God to back it up, hoping in it, coming with humility, coming with prayer. And then number six, we need to approach God's word purposing to make choices based on it. Verse 4 of Psalm 119, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. And the word keep there means guard. And sometimes it's used in that way to guard something, guard our hearts and so on, guard the idea of protecting. It also means to take heed and observe and regard. So take heed to thy precepts diligently and regard them and observe them. Verse 2 before that said, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Again, the same meaning. Verse 30, I have chosen, that's making a choice when we come to God's word or in approaching it, the way I have chosen the way of truth. If I come to God's word and I'm saying, I am making a choice, I believe this is true, that God will back it up, I'm making a choice that I'm going to act on it, that's the way we need to approach his word. I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Speaks of being quick about it and responding to God's word. We need to approach our time in God's word with the mindset that I will make decisions, I will make choices based upon the truth that I'm reading. We need to approach it purposing to allow it to affect my daily living, your daily living. Come allowing it to be what my whole life centers around. We need to approach God's word, allowing it to dictate the do's and the don'ts of our lives, the clear yeses and no's. And then for things that are not specifically spelled out in Scripture, we can allow the Holy Spirit to use His word to mold or shape those areas of our lives. And if we don't approach God's word in this way, you know what happens? Then the reading of the Bible becomes just that, the reading of words. It likely will just become a formality, a checking of that box, like we said in the beginning, a feel-good action that we do. Approaching God's word, purposing to make choices based on it, allows God to use it to make a good difference in our lives, fulfilling what God wants His word to do. That's what He wants it to do for us. His purpose is to have it to make a good difference in my life and in your life. He wants to act on it for us. And He will if we'll trust Him and believe that it's true. Lastly, in our approach to God's word, we need to come with our whole heart. Heart is our core being. You've heard that before. It involves our soul, mind, and will. It's where our words, thoughts, feelings, and actions originate. That's our heart, our spiritual heart. Our heart refers to the true me, the true you. So we need to approach God's word with our heart, or our whole true person. You know, the KJV, the King James Version, uses the word heart, I believe it's 15 times, 15, in Psalm 119. It emphasizes the importance of connecting God's word, the truth, with our heart, our whole person. Verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I will run, verse 32, I will run the way of the commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. The word enlarge means to broaden, to make room, to open wide. In other words, Lord, make room in my whole person. Let my whole life be affected by thy word. Enlarge my heart. Don't let it just be words I read. Verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart, my whole person. Verse 80, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. When it's taken into our whole person, we don't have to be ashamed, because it will have an effect on our life that will reach out and shine out and will give us boldness. Verse 111, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. That involves our feelings. Rejoicing there means joy and gladness. So it even is to involve our feelings. Again, our whole person. Verse 112, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. The word inclined means to stretch or spread out, apply. I've applied my whole person, involvement of the whole heart, the whole person, to perform your statutes, your word, to believe it, to trust it, to obey it, to look to it, to center my life around it. Verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in all of thy word. My whole person needs to stand in awe of God's word. Verses 69 through 70, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. You know, the ESV says is one feeling like fat, for that as fat as grease. their heart is as one feeling as fat. They don't have feelings for the word. But I delight in thy law. We are to be delighting. There's feelings involved. Our whole person. Approaching God's word apart from our heart, the whole person potentially leads to a lack of genuineness, to ritualism, to legalism, and trying to earn favor with God instead of accepting his favor and responding to his word out of that favor. We need to connect his word with our whole heart. So our lives will be affected. And so we are genuine in purposing to live out the Christian life to please our Lord and our Savior. So that it's just not a ritual. It's just not a box I check. It's just not a do list or a don't. But it's my whole person responding to his word out of love for him, what he's done. And because I know it's the truth. And he'll back it up. And it's for my good. It's to make a good difference in my life. So according to Psalm 119, and maybe you could find more, our approach to God's word is important. And we need to approach it believing it is true, trusting God to back it up, hoping in it with patience and yet expectation that he'll do it. Coming with humility, coming with prayer, purposing to make choices based on it, and coming with our whole heart, our whole person. How we approach God's word will make a huge difference in how God's word affects your life and my life. We plan, Lord willing, to continue this look at Psalm 119 in my next sermon. Again, Lord willing, if I live, if things don't change till then, as we consider more of our response to the scriptures, God's word.
As was stated earlier, what a blessing to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Each one of us can take what we've heard this evening and better ourselves. I know our brother spoke to me tonight. I don't know if he spoke to you or not, but just thank you, Father. Thank you for each one coming tonight. We just pray that that's what we hear, and we take it and use it to the Lord's honor and glory. May we stand for closing prayer.